Welcome to the Next Step. Hey, this is Father Boskin, welcoming you to the Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inner Shoes mission, and is brought to you by the good folks, the cool folks, over at the Apostles Net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. That definitely is not me running. I am so slowed down today. But let's first of all start off with the weird sound. I don't know if you feel it, but I certainly do, coming in through the headphones over here. Our studio is upside down. Yes, we are welcoming in Windows 7. And we've got operating system galore thanks to our producer, Susie, who has her magic touch with all these machines. I mean, this place looks like a MASH unit over here. There's like so much red flowing out that we can't even tell Ani's hair in the middle of all this. But anyway, right now we are fumbling around with a few different migramophones, and one of the migramophones is the one I'm using. So if it sounds like a tenike, you know what a tenike is? It's like, do you remember when you were kids? Well, probably not too many people do. They're not as old as I am. But tenikes are those little tin cans that you'd get soup out of. And after you'd finish, you'd poke a hole in one of them, and you'd put a string in between two of them, and you start talking to each other, and you'd get this tenike telephone system. Well, that's how I feel sometimes listening to what's coming out over here. Or if you don't want to blame technology, you could blame it on this awful cold I've gone through last couple days. Ooh, fevers galore. It hasn't been fun at all. I mean, people just like accusing me of swine fluing it over here. But thank God it wasn't anything like that, or anything like what it sounds like a swine flu might be. But I did go through a really icky little period of time last few days, and it still affected my voice, but we will try to get the message out one way or another. It also accounts for why we're late by a day. But I do want to tell you, regardless, you got to believe this, regardless of whether we were sick or not, we were planning on moving up the date of the podcast by a day or two. This has been in the works, so this is probably going to be the best time to do it. Our podcasts are going to start coming out either Thursday or Friday. We still got to make the final decision with the Inner Shoes management, and we'll see what we're going to do over there. But here's the deal. For today, we're going full blast. We're giving you a podcast like no other. We've got so much stuff to talk about. If you could put up with my voice being like this, if you could put up with the day late and everything, we guarantee we will put up a great, great podcast for you today. I want to talk about a few things that are going around in the world for us, but let's kick it off, as we always do, with the song of the day. Thank you. Johnny. It's off of a CD. Actually, it's a six-set CD. This was produced back in 1996. It's called The Music of Armenia. And this is off of the second CD in that collection. It's called Medieval Music Sharagans, or Hymns of the Armenian Church. Again, the name is Gorani. And while that was being played, of course, I was being told over here by my staff of certain deletions and different things. Well, first of all, I'm told by Ken that he is working on the microphone system. So thank you, Ken, and all the things, yes, I hear those little dings coming up, and all the things that you're doing over there, I appreciate that you're also going to work on this microphone, and hopefully we'll get this fixed during the course of this podcast. And I've been told by Susie that while I explained that we're going over to a Thursday or Friday podcast, I didn't give you the reason. And I need to do that because it is a good reason. It is the reason that we are expanding. I mean, things are going good over here. Can't complain. And as you know, about a month and a half ago, we started a Bible series program called Questions in Faith. And those are being streamed directly over the internet. It's been wild because people can pick up the broadcast and participate in the Bible study from virtually anywhere in the world. And whether you could join us at Pacific time, and most of you on the East Coast of the United States or Europe cannot because of the time difference putting you in the middle of the night, those of you who can't can always access the archives. And so it's been really kind of a neat new step that we've been taking. And to give a little bit more time to that project and really get it to where we want to, we're allocating our Wednesdays to that and moving the podcast over to Thursdays. So if you'll bear with us, I know it's just a small little change. I appreciate it that you're praying for us and you're with us in all of these steps that we're taking. But thank you, Susie. I did make that. Now, because everybody picked on me and because you needed to tell me all that, guess who gets to speak next? Yes. Thanks, honey. You've been quiet. Let's go to... Let's go to Honey's Bubbles.
Butterfly, today's spiritual bubble. A man found a cocoon for a butterfly. One day, a small opening appeared. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through the little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could go no further. Then the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily. Something was strange. The butterfly had a swollen body and shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected, at any moment, the wings would enlarge and expand to be able to support the body, which would contract in time. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and deformed wings, and it was never able to fly. What the man in his kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through the small opening of the cocoon are God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If God allowed us to go through all our life without any obstacles that would pull us, we would not be as strong as we could have been. Not only that, but we could never be able to fly. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, honey, for those bubbles, butterfly bubbles. Very nicely done. And I like it because, you know, it kind of brings to an end a little season that we've had. If you remember, Just a little over a month ago, we started celebrating the Feast of the Cross with the elevation of the cross. We talked about how important that symbol is in Christian understanding of life. We went to Varaka Hutch, the symbol of Varak, a uniquely Armenian Orthodox feast. And then this Sunday, this coming Sunday, is called Kyud Hutch, and that is the discovery of the Holy Cross. And all of these point to the importance of the cross in the life of the Christian, that Christ says that he who wants to follow me must endure, must be able to pick up his cross, must be able to follow my path. And there is suffering. It is a path of suffering, and at the end of it, there is also a victory. But what we found, and throughout this study that we've been going through here on these podcasts, that, you know, that suffering is not the suffering that we've been taught about. It is a suffering that is different, that gives us the character, gives us the resources that we need to be able to sustain life. And certainly today's bubbles was exactly that, wasn't it? That if the butterfly doesn't go through that period of suffering, or let's say struggle, if he doesn't struggle, then he doesn't have the resources, the tools necessary to maintain, to sustain, to have a life, to be the butterfly that he is known to be, or that we know him to be. And that butterfly ceases to be a butterfly without that process. And same thing in our lives, right? We cease to be human until we can first accept that struggle as part of our life. And then once we accept that struggle, we understand that it is merely to build the tools necessary to beat out, really to conquer the big difficult moves in life. And I've been getting a lot of email, people telling me about some of their problems and difficulties. This is not about, you know, just making some money. It's not about some financial difficulties. It's not about relationships gone sour. Certainly those are struggles, and certainly those are sufferings that you and I have. But having the tools to get through life, it means that, yes, okay, when the relationship goes bad, being able to stand there and believe in yourself. When money runs out, to be able to stand there and realize that that's not all that's necessary. That, yes, what Jesus did say, man doesn't live by bread alone, is really something, and that there are other options. You see, the tools are so necessary to be able to look at that cross and say that I found my cross. That's what this Sunday's feast is, by the way. It's called the Discovery of the Cross. Of course, the story is about St. Helen, and who, by the way, is the mother of Constantine the Great, you know, the big one. Yes. Anyway, Helen finds the cross, and there's a beautiful tradition wrapped around that, and the Armenian Church celebrates that feast this coming Sunday, and it is one of four of the Feast of the Cross. But all of these are about the power of the cross and the importance of the cross in each and every one of our lives. So I'm really happy that today, with this little bubble, we were able to bring to an end the season of the cross, let's call it. There's one more coming up, and that's, I believe, in April. We'll be talking about that. That's the appearance of the cross. Completely different idea over there, but still focusing on the sufferings that Christ endured as a sample, as an example for you and me, to be able to look at our lives and realize that, yes, our crosses are very real and, of course, very necessary. As I've said many times, I firmly believe this. The more I live, the more I believe this. You cannot experience resurrection without first a crucifixion. Well, we're going to talk about a couple anniversaries that are coming up or have come around and we've noticed them. Actually, they've gone by. They're anniversaries that have taken place, but they give us a little bit food for thought, a little bit creativity, a little bit of imagination out there. And you can see that just about anything gives you an ability to really think about deep matters, matters that really affect you. Well, like we said a few minutes ago, in the story of the butterfly or the story of the cross, it's not just about getting through a struggle, but it's about having those tools to be able to take on all struggles, to be able to take on what life dishes out to you. And so too with these stories of the anniversaries, you know, right now we're in the fall. Here in America, we're enjoying this autumn. And I've got to tell you, it's really a beautiful, beautiful time of year. I took a nice walk today, and I just enjoyed watching some of the trees that were in, you know, of course, I'm living in California. I don't see as many as I should, but I definitely do have a few trees that I love to keep my eyes on, and the leaves start falling. And before you know it, by mid-November, late November, they are bare. They are barren. And again, here we go again, right? It's a question of life, death, and then the cycle renews itself. Resurrection, crucifixion, and then a resurrection. You know, it's all connected, like we said a few minutes ago. That's why on Easter Sunday, what do we have? We have those symbols such as the fertility symbols such as the rabbits, or the hens, the little chickies, and of course the butterfly is another symbol, and the Easter eggs. These are all connected. These all come from pre-Christian times, these symbols, and somehow they are incorporated in, well, the way we perceive life, and we use a lot of these. You know, you can't be scared of these things. I know people that sometimes complain about, next week, of course, is Halloween. People complain, oh, what are we doing? We're dressing up and everything. Well, we'll talk about that. We're having a special Halloween edition of The Next Step next week, so you'll want to check us out, and you could then you could fire at us all you want. But you know, people get too worked up about these things, not realizing that these symbols are just opportunities for you to reflect, for you to grow. And certainly when you come down to the butterflies that we talked about, what a beautiful picture that is. I mean, the cocoon itself is the tomb. The butterfly cracking out of it is the resurrection. And so too, when you look up at the trees and you see them falling, the leaves falling, you see an opportunity to look at death coming on you. But then, looking at spring and being able to say that, yeah, out in the distance out there, a distance not measured by miles, but by time, in the distance out there, distance in time, there is hope, there is love, there is life. And that's what I'm calling you to reflect on today, because last Saturday I was up in San Jose, and that was actually Cupertino. St. Andrew Armenian Church was the first parish I had the good fortune to serve some 14, 15 years ago. And for a duration of about 15 years out there. And unfortunately, I was up there this past weekend for a funeral, a good friend of ours. And God rest his soul, it was an opportunity to get together with family and friends up there and to share a life and to share many reflections and, of course, our prayers. But in so doing, it was interesting. That night, I stayed at a hotel. In the morning, we picked up the San Jose Mercury News, and there it was, right on the cover, a reminder that it was exactly 20 years ago that the Loma Prieta earthquake took place. Now, you're going to say, what is that? What is a Loma Prieta earthquake? I mean, we've heard about earthquakes in Chile, in China. We've heard about earthquakes in Northridge. We've heard about earthquakes in Siberia and even in Armenia. But what is a Loma Prieta? Well, let me take you back. Let me take you back a little bit, because it's very interesting, and this is what I want to share with you, this 20-year-old story. This was exactly about 10 months after the Armenian earthquake. If you remember back in December 1988, Armenia suffered a great earthquake. And if you don't remember, it's interesting because if you go and Google great earthquakes of the 20th century, it ranks in there. The Armenian earthquake ranked in there because there was upward between 25,000 to 50,000 casualties, fatalities, people who died as a result of that earthquake. This is December 7th, 1988. Well, we worked a lot in the Bay Area to take relief and get relief out to Armenia. And sure enough, it was about 10 months later. It was on October 17th, 1989. And it was, like I said, it was exactly 20 years ago this weekend that we suffered an earthquake in the Bay Area. And this became known as the Loma Prieta earthquake because it was centered, well, guess where? Loma Prieta. But it became known more of the Bay Area earthquake because just at that moment, in fact, I was getting ready. I was leaving the church. I never forget this. I was driving my car. I was going home. We were getting ready to watch the World Series. And the World Series that year was an unusual one. It was unprecedented. It was very, very unique. It was called the Bay Area Series because it was between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's. Can you believe that? There it was. The World Series was taking place in the Bay Area. Whether you were on one side of the Bay or the other side of the Bay, you were going to get hit in a few minutes. And at that time, Candlestick Park, it was filled. It was packed, ready for the game. And I was getting ready to go home, and we were going to watch it. And I get in my car, and I remember being stuck at a signal. And all of a sudden, just seeing everything moving, I felt like somebody was just stomping on my car and moving it up and down, up and down, up and down. It was just violently moving. And then I looked over at the telephone poles, and when I saw them swaying, I mean literally swaying from one side to the next, I knew we are not in Kansas anymore. This is no longer a small deal. This is the big one. And of course the signals went out right away, so I didn't even have to wait for a green light, and there we were and trying to get through, and I was flooring it. And I remember passing by one of my parishioners' house because they were in Armenia when the earthquake happened, so poor people, they left Armenia to find some more stable ground. We should tell them not to come to San Francisco Bay Area. It wasn't stable at all. So I saw them. They had run out. They were outside of their apartment, and I just looked over them. I just asked, is everything okay? Rolled down the window, and they were just panicking. I said, I'll be back. And anyway, ran home and had about a 2-3 mile trip. Got home, and our house was just completely, everything was just on the floors, dishes, glasses, everything broken. And my wife has been carrying our baby right out the door, but in so doing so quickly, the wall came in front of them. That's how much things were moving. I mean, this was incredible, big earthquake. Actually, would you believe that it was even bigger than the one in Armenia? Armenia registered 6.9, killing 25,000 and up. This was 7.1, I believe, and at the end of it, there were 63 dead, and I believe something like 10 to 12,000 homeless people as a result of the earthquake. Well, why am I bringing this up here? Not to compare the numbers, and certainly death is death, and even if one person was killed, it should register as a tragedy, a big tragedy, and this is in no way. It's not the earthquakes that I want to compare. I want to compare the reaction. Because this week, when I saw that story, that yes, here it is, 20th anniversary of the Loma Prieta quake, it reminded me of the first anniversary. And I really want you to think about this as I tell you this story, because it is so important. You know, a lot of times we talk about attitude in life. It's not only just a question of having the right attitude. It's the way we perceive the way life is, or we perceive the crosses in our lives. Because here it was, just 10 months after the Armenian earthquake. And we went through this entire earthquake ourselves, and we felt it. And here we were trying to deal with situations on the other side of the earth, and we were in the Bay Area, in a rather affluent area, of course, and we were trying to deal with difficulties there, brought on by natural disaster. Okay, so this is what happens. 2 months later, it is the first anniversary of the Armenian earthquake. And we start going through this entire ritual process that even the church began, started mandating that we start doing requiem services for those who have passed away. And certainly, you have to honor those who have died, and there is a lot of solemn prayer that needs to be given, and your compassion has to go out to the families that are bereaved, that are left holding on to whatever's left and trying to make a life for themselves. This was December 1989. Now fast forward to October 1990, 1 year after the Loma Prieta quake, another anniversary. And guess what? It was completely different. It was a different kind of anniversary. It was a celebration. You say, what? Celebrating a tragedy? No, celebrating the aftermath that here we were 1 year later alive. And to me, that was just such a wake-up call. Because, you know, as I've shared with you many times, I'm from a family of genocide survivors, and anyone who's gone through those major tragedies in life is brought up with a lot of baggage, with a lot of negativity, a lot of stories about the crucifixions. And it's very easy to center on those crucifixions and fail to see the resurrections. And certainly this is what was happening in the case of the Armenian earthquake. 1 year later, it was about, look at the crucifixion. Look how terrible that crucifixion was. Look how bad that earthquake was. 1 year later from the Loma Prieta quake, it wasn't about the losses. It wasn't about the damages. It was, look at the resurrection. Look how we've come forward. Look how we banded together. We extended hands to one another, and we were able to rebuild. And I chose this today because, you know, it was another anniversary. It was the 20th anniversary. And every time I think about that earthquake, I think about that. I think about our response, not to the evil that takes place, but to the aftermath and how important it is in our lives too. You know, things go wrong. Things do happen in our lives. And you can choose to look at it and let it fester sometimes. Let it just overwhelm you. Or you can choose to look at, how did you survive? How did you stand up after you fell? And celebrate that rising. Celebrate that resurrection in your life. You see, it's a difference. It's the same event. And you can say that just exactly about Easter, right? The crucifixion, resurrection, it's all the same event of that Easter weekend. But you can choose to celebrate either Good Friday, or you could choose to celebrate Easter. Fortunately, as Christians, we're given that opportunity to stand at Easter, looking at Good Friday and saying that despite those difficulties, I made it here. I made it to the resurrection. And the same too, when we look at things like this, it's opportunities for us to look at our own earthquakes, our own tragedies, our own difficulties, and to look at them and really say, what am I celebrating? What am I commemorating? And you'll find that if you can look at so many of the positive things that are out there, you start putting away some of the negative stuff and move on in a positive fashion. In fact, it's one of the reasons why Armenian Genocide Day, not too popular with too many of the organizations, but we have certainly a great calling. It's like on Armenian Genocide commemoration every April 24th, no matter what, I insist that we donate blood. And people say, well, you know, it's a genocide, and you know, there was 1.5 million people died at the hands of the Turks, and we have to take this and remember, we have to demand justice. Yes, you can demand justice all you want, but that doesn't stop you from doing something positive and celebrating the resurrection. And so, here we are, 92 years later, after the Armenian Genocide. What do? We get together, actually, in the communities that I've served at, and we donate blood. And it's a very simple message that we have. In 1915, we gave blood against our will. Today, we give blood willingly for the sake of humanity. Now, if you put it all together, how can you give blood? You have to be alive. So there's the celebration right there, right? And so look at how powerful that is. You're not only living, you're not only a testament to the resurrection, but you're saying, my blood is so strong, I'm pumping away, and I'm giving other people opportunities to live. Now think about that in your life. Think about it just for a moment. All the difficulties that you have, if you look one step away, you'll see that there are bright days. You'll see that there are bright moments. You'll see that there are opportunities where you have stood up. If you can focus on that, if you can focus on those resurrections, you'll see those crucifixions, those crosses just become symbols in your life, that they gave you the character, much like that butterfly that we heard about earlier. They gave us the ability and the tools and the resources to be able to withstand the difficulties and sustain our life in this lifetime. That is the story of the Loma Prieta quake that I want to share with you. It's not an event that takes place. It's an event that constantly is haunting us to really look at our lives and realize that the choice is up to us. The choice is up to you, to me. Which one do we decide to look at? Where do we look at? Do we look at those crucifixions, or do we focus on those resurrections and know that those resurrections are our opportunities to really move our lives forward?
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the second year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazkin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a
world. That I push you to really look at some of this stuff that's out there. The Rod Sterling Twilight Zones, late 50s, early 60s, there's a collection, and they're available all over on DVD, and certainly the Sci-Fi channel shows them, and there's other channels that show them. Check them out. They are incredible tools to use with your families to stimulate discussion. Sit down and watch one and then start talking. You'll be amazed. What about gambling? What happens about the fever when all of a sudden you lose control of your senses? Even the most conservative man loses control. One of my favorite ones is a Santa Claus who's down on his luck in the gutters. And he would do anything for just a couple bucks for a shot of whiskey. And there he is on Christmas Eve receiving this gift to give gifts. And he gives out gifts and he realizes that he received the greatest gift to be the greatest gift giver of all time. I mean, I gotta tell you, each one of those Twilight Zones has a message that does speak in a very unique way. And I salute it. I take this opportunity to remind you that this is the 50th anniversary. If you get a chance, get out there, watch some Twilight Zone. It's some great, great stuff. Well, while we're hearing the Twilight Zone theme, just a reminder that next week we have a very special next step. It will be dedicated to Halloween. It's the Halloween edition of The Next Step coming up next week. And as I said earlier in this podcast, we are going to start producing these on Thursdays of each week, and you'll get them late Thursday, early Friday morning. Look for them as you used to do on Wednesdays. Hey, listen, it's been a pleasure to be with you today. Got to get back to work right now in organizing this studio. We are upgrading to Windows 7. Yes, it is October 22nd. And just a reminder, when from my Cupertino years, I remember when Windows 95 first came out, all the engineers at Apple in Cupertino, they'd drive around with little bumper stickers. They were quite clever, too. Windows 95 equals Apple 88. Well, that's always with the Apple's way too ahead of the game. But for us, with all of our Windows machines today, we're upgrading to Windows 7. So that probably accounts for some of the technical problems that we've had. And I know Ken was going to promise to fix this microphone. And at least what I'm hearing through the headset, it is not the quality we are used to. So Ken, you will be lashed like the... Oh, yes, I shouldn't have said that. Well, Ken, we will take care of you afterwards. Anyway, next week we will have the show back up and running and the quality that you are used to hearing. Well, for all the wonderful people who put this together, it has just been a pleasure to be here with you. I want to remind you to check out all of our websites. We have inissues.org, which is the mother of all websites, telling you all about our ministry, what we're doing, what we're engaged in, and how you can get involved. Also an opportunity to really plug in. The voice of InnerStep, of course, is Apostle.net. It's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. And over there you can check out these podcasts. Every one of the podcasts that we've put together, The Next Steps, are available from the beginning of time. You just go to the archive button and just download whichever one you want. And they are put up there by category with descriptions. You can also check out our weekly Bible study called Questions in Faith. Questions in Faith every Wednesday evening Pacific Standard Time. Speaking of which, I believe there's a time change. You might want to check wherever you're at. I believe there's a time change coming up this weekend, if not this weekend, the next. Not really sure. Actually, for people like us, what does it matter, does it? Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff going on also on our blogs, so check out all of the stuff that are going on. Each of our websites, InIssues, Epostle, has links to the others, so you really just need to get them and just follow the links. And of course, we always like to hear from you. feedback@epostle.net. Just another reminder that today's show was sponsored by the good folks over at Pomegranate and I, Eclectic Jewelry for the Fun at Heart. You could check out all of their beautiful products at Pomegranate and I at Etsy, Etsy.com. That's Pomegranate and I, EYE, at Etsy.com. Hey, for all the wonderful people who put this show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, even though he was trying to make the sound a little bit better, and we ended up with Tenike sound. For Ani with her bubbles, and no matter how much she tries, she can never have a bad sound. This is Father Bosquet, asking you to join us again next week when we will take...
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.